How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Good Bit Podcast, and this week we are chatting about the greatest movie theme songs of all time. Movie theme songs. Now, we're not talking about TV show theme songs, which, thinking about it now, might have actually been an easier topic. Obviously, there's loads of great TV shows with great theme songs and great intros. I'm a sucker for a good intro. The opening credits, that, you know, absolute immediate hook that gets you, you know, for a TV show, like I'll Be There For You or whatever. That might be a good idea for an upcoming episode, but today we're chatting about movie theme songs, so not soundtracks, not movie scores that were written. We're not even talking about the composers themselves. We're talking about the actual theme song that, when you hear that tune, it is immediately recognisable and synonymous with the movie itself and even just the franchise itself. So again, what does that mean? Is that a song that is like specifically written for the film you're watching? Or can it be just like a song that is already out in life and entertainment that is like picked out of, you know, whoever's in charge of the music in a film kind of genre or whatever, or a film trilogy? They're just going, I want that one to be our song. Does that count? I personally think so, but I guess that's what the kind of debate is going to be all about right here on the podcast. So looking forward to getting into it this week, talking about the greatest movie theme song of all time. We had a little bit of listener participation in this one as well. I put out a little kind of post on the socials saying just that question, what is the greatest movie theme song of all time? And we didn't get that many responses. And I guess that's kind of like, that was the whole kind of stimulus of this episode becoming an idea in the first place, where Ian said to me, there's no good theme songs anymore in movies. It's actually so hard to immediately think of one, you know, that's not the obvious, that's Star Wars or Indiana Jones or Mission Impossible or whatever. And those ones are still great. We're going to talk about those ones. But it's been so long since there's been a consistent amount of great theme tunes that have been released. There's obviously a good one here and there. We're not saying there's none anymore, but harder to immediately, you know, have one come to the front of your brain, you know. So when we put that message out in social media, of course, there's every chance that people just don't respond. That's just natural on social media. But also, you know, I actually think it is a relatively tough topic. There's not an obvious answer. There's loads of options, but there's not an obvious answer of what is the greatest one itself. So we're going to get into that. What does it mean? What does it stand for? How should it work? And all that good stuff. And also, we're going to do our top five favourite movie theme tunes in cinema history. All that and so much more. Thank you so much, by the way, for the lovely comments about last week's episode with the Bonnie Boys. Great feedback, and one of my favourite episodes we've done in ages, so please check that one out if you haven't already. Back to our regular scheduled programming this week, though, with more obscure, nerdy, and over-the-top movie chat that you can come to expect here on the Good Bit Podcast. Thank you so much for watching. You can get us on the socials at The Good Bit Pod on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and X. Getting used to it now. And of course, the video versions are available on YouTube if you'd rather watch us talk than just listen to us talk. But in any way, I hope you enjoy regardless. Stay tuned for more. We're here for the greatest movie film themes. Guess that works. Greatest movie theme songs in cinema history right here on the Good Bit Podcast.
Evening. What are we talking about, Chris?
We are talking about the greatest movie theme songs of all time.
Well, see, I think that's a marvellous idea.
I think you
coming up with that idea has been, I think it's a masterstroke.
It came to me in fact. In a dream.
In a dream?
Yes.
A bit like yesterday with Paul McCartney. Yes. Yeah, it is your masterwork.
Yes, and yeah. I thought I have to speak to Ian about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we are now here back in Ian's studio and we're going to talk about my master plan.
Excellent.
Yes. In all seriousness though.
Uh-huh, in all seriousness.
You are the musician. You are the music genius.
Well, I try to be.
Try to be. So I am more than happy to go with your lead. I know I'm supposed to be the host here, but this can be your one.
It's a takeover.
Yeah, you take over. Yeah.
It's a good bit to take over, in fact, because it needs to be said. Did you watch the Oscars the other night?
Did you stay up?
I know your girlfriend did, but did you?
I stayed up and, yes, I did watch it.
Yeah,
yes.
I stayed up all on my own. My wife went to bed. She knew better.
Well, I was on my own. She was in her own house, but she was texting me, which was amazing.
Okay, right. Nice. Was there a red carpet? Like, was there a red carpet, Iona?
What?
Was there a red carpet?
I didn't.
Yeah. I missed it. I didn't see, you didn't the see red it. Carpet.
Well, it started an hour earlier because of daylight savings
time.
And
I missed it.
There you go. They were scared. You know, they talked about this. They said they were worried that the people were going to be like that and forget the fact that it was starting. And usually, as you know, they start with the Best Supporting Actor and Actress Awards, right? But, you know, weirdly this year, they just did Supporting Actress, right, first, and then they moved on, and then they
moved
did that.
On, yeah.
They didn't. They knew that people would want to see Robert Downey Jr.
Aye.
So they saved his award for an hour
a bit
in.
Later. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah
so
yeah,
people were actually turning on. Go, the Oscars have started. Okay. Yeah, aye. We'll still see LDJ.
Yeah. See, that's like, we're going to give you a wee sweetie, just to get you interested, and then we're going to take it away and do the boring stuff.
That's right.
For a while.
That's right. Yeah. They did the Best Supporting Actress, and then it was like, I don't know.
Nothing. Just a wasteland
shot
of stuff.
Like yeah. So.
But the thing is, the reason I brought up the Oscars, because you know how I feel about the Oscars, you should know by now. The reason I brought them up was because they were uncharacteristically, or maybe characteristically these days, devoid of a good score. Now, apart from all the songs that they played, that which people might be familiar with.
Yeah.
Right? Particularly one very pink one. Featuring an actor who's not accustomed to singing with Mark Ronson and Ed Al.
And
you know,
Slash.
But in Slash.
Who didn't sing, but.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, good on Slash. Wow. Still can do it, eh?
Must have been free that day.
Well, yeah. Anyway, it's a bit like when he appeared at the Super Bowl yon time out of a trapdoor.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and a wind machine.
I'm going to see him on the 3rd of April.
Oh, yeah. Well, give him my love.
I will.
Tell him I was asking for him. And tell him I want that guitar back. That'll confuse him, and he'll go, oh, God, he'll feel guilty, and he'll actually maybe give me a guitar
the
back.
One he was actually using that night,
and
he'll hand
think,
it to me.
I think, oh, shit, did I borrow that from Greavesy? Maybe I did. I had one of my blackouts.
Yeah, right.
And I'll end up with a new Gibson. Anyway.
So no good score.
Well, no, because they're not playing the good old tunes,
right?
So, and I'm talking about, you know, the music to play you off, the music in between. I'm not talking about the songs and the, you know, there's none of that.
No.
Because there's no good themes anymore.
Anymore.
Now, listen to me. There are no good themes anymore. There are still some being used, but there's not a lot of, there's not a, an abundance of new ones being created for us to all hook onto. And they're missing a trick because it sold records. Back in the day,
right.
That was the thing. It sold records. And there are numerous themes which people would buy LPs of. I used to do it. The Jeff Love famous films themes. They weren't even the original recordings. It was some guy in his orchestra. Stanley Black. That was another one. Remember, because you could buy them on Hallmark.
Nice.
For about, you know, a good £7.50 cheaper than the actual thing. And you'd get box sets of Stanley Black and his orchestra play music from the movies. But they were all fairly... people used to have them in the record collection because they were great tunes,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And you don't get them anymore, and it's sad. Now, I like Clint Mansell and Et Al, you know, and Johnny Greenwood, when he turns his hand to it, is you know, fairly good. You know, you've got to hand it to the boy.
Yep.
But there needs to be a mix.
Yes.
There's too much of it. There's no great themes. And, yes, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you think they're too samey.
We didn't do that at the beginning.
I know, I was just thinking that. I'll just sink your lips.
Sorry,
Are they too samey, then, the ones you get now?
We're getting, well, everything's samey, isn't it? Because it's genre-based. It's kind of like, this kind of tune works, we find. So would you mind doing another one, just exactly like it, but different? You know, that's the way people work now. You know, it's like, oh my God, we found a new pop star.
Yeah.
Right, can we get him to write a whole new album that's exactly the same as the last one, but with slightly different words? You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the fucking point of that?
Yeah. Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Well, we know that the opposite of that works.
Yep.
So why are we letting these imbeciles take charge? Do you know?
And you're not talking just in movies. You're talking...
No, television a lot, yeah. It's like there are some amazing musicians at the moment. And this is my point. It's not that there's a dearth of musicians. There needs to be more opportunity for people to... I just don't understand why the theme tune has been lost. Because, and when I say theme tune, I'm not talking about theme song.
Okay.
Right? Anybody can slap a song. And I'm even talking about Bond films.
Okay.
Which has been ably demonstrated in recent years, right?
Of course.
I'm talking about when there was a song in the 60s, so for example, right? Okay. I was only barely alive in the 60s, so I'm not stuck on the 60s.
Promise.
But, yeah. But the But the thing about them was the song, the tune of the song, the music of the song mm-hmm. was interwoven into the score.
Right.
And that's an important factor that's lost a lot of the time, especially when you've got someone who's scoring something really intricately and nicely, but then the producers decide, yeah, but we don't want the song. We'll get somebody who's in the top 100 to the top 10, basically, you know. Yeah. And there's examples of that. There's even examples of that in Bond with David Arnold doing the song for Quantum of Solace. Mm-hmm. Now, in the score of that film, there's this beautiful tune. Good About Goodbyes, I think, is the name of the theme tune
okay.
that he did with Shirley Bassey.
Yeah.
And the problem is Shirley Bassey no longer, even though she's connected to the Bond thing, she's done three of them, mm-hmm. She will never get to do another one, basically because she won't sell, it's business, and she won't sell that many records.
Right.
So it needed to be. So he was picking the wrong singers, basically, I think, because mm-hmm. his music was brilliant. The songs mm-hmm. were excellent. It's a fantastic song.
So then
he
the
did
most
it with Bassey, so that's the reason they didn't use it. And it yeah. seems odd, you've got the theme tune that bears no relation to the rest of the score of the movie. Mm-hmm. And in that kind of movie, it's really important, I think, you know.
You've got the kind of more recent Bond films then where they went with maybe the artist of the time. So we had Adele, mm-hmm. right? And then we mm-hmm. had, was it Sam Smith for Spectre?
Yeah.
And then the most recent one mm-hmm. was Billie Eilish.
See, yeah. And the way they worked is very telling, because Thomas Newman's music is fantastic. I'm not knocking any composers here. They're not the problem. The composers are doing wonderful work, and Thomas Newman's scores were great. I really enjoyed them. The problem with them, he then sort of, like, you can see he shoehorned in moments in the movie that was based on the songs that he was given to do. Okay. And I don't suppose he's much of a songwriter, I suppose. I don't think he's given, you know, he's that interested in, I don't know, I don't know his work that well.
Okay.
So I don't know if he's actually involved in any famous songs as such, but his music is brilliant. Hans Zimmer, on the other hand, knew well in advance and was instrumental in getting Billie Eilish involved, so that his score is actually slightly cleverer and undulates more
with her song.
Because, you know, it wasn't just tagged on at the end. It was thought through. You know,
yeah,
and for somebody like me, the idea of Johnny Marr playing the Bond theme is just like is a little bit of a moment.
Yeah, callback. You
know. Well, you know, yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, you can talk now.
Yeah. Okay. No, what I was going to say was, obviously, I think when you hear the word movie theme song,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people do kind of question what are we actually looking for? What's the criteria, right? Because you've obviously got these iconic, you know, tunes themselves, scores themselves. You also have soundtracks, where it's songs that have been bought by the film. You know, the first one that comes to mind is something like Baby Driver or something like that, where it was like known for its soundtrack.
Okay.
The soundtrack made the film almost because it was going along with what the characters were doing in the film, right? But in my, when I hear the word movie theme song, I think of the iconic ones, right? Like a Star Wars or a Jaws or a Back to the Future or whatever. But they are also because they're my favourite movies. There are plenty out there that are maybe going, I don't know, under the radar when it comes to these ones. How do you kind of define that? Are you looking at more as in the score itself, like by the composer, or are you looking for that one actual catchy hook?
I think you've defined it yourself. You just defined it. I mean, there are several types, right? There's the ones that we started off talking about, whereas there is a score and the song exists because there's a title sequence
because of that
a song,
or
it features heavily in a montage or somewhere in the movie, right? Or you can have a theme tune, like in, there's another Bond film where they've got it's an instrumental theme tune, and then they've got a song that features in it, and the score's really, but the score borrows really heavily from both pieces of music, so it seems like a whole piece, like a classical music piece. There's different movements almost, like there are in the structure of the movie. So that's one thing. The other type is the Martin Scorsese, the Baby Driver. Who directed Baby Driver? And Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, he did Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright.
Yep.
That style where there is actually a film, it's almost like a, not a, I don't want to say jukebox because that seems demeaning or it seems like I'm having a go.
It's not as good, yeah.
But basically, it's they delved into the record collection. I mean, Woody Allen did that as well. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's really interesting. It's exciting.
And you know, picked those songs for the film.
I loved Last Night in Soho for that specifically. You know, it was just wonderful.
Do you not think that film went a way that you just didn't expect?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what
I loved about it.
I was sitting there going, this is... Yeah. I was really into kind of the backstory.
Yeah.
And then it goes crazy.
Yeah. That moment, that first moment where she goes out on the town in London is with Cilla Black, You're My World. You know? It's amazing.
It's a good film.
In the cinema, that was incredible, the impact of that. So see it, folks. It's wonderful. Anyway, I feel like the guy in the fast show just thought, nice. Anyway, so there's that type.
Yeah.
And then there's the type where it's a suite, where it's an orchestral suite. And like you mentioned, Star Wars, John Williams. Mm-hmm. And Star Wars is fantastic because every character has a theme.
Has
every situation
own theme.
Has Absolutely. A theme. And you latch onto that when you're watching it. And my big argument for those kind of things... Those instrumental, the key instrumental, the one where the minute you hear the tune, you think of the film and you remember the film. But it's not just that. It's actually a theme, a great theme, is when it makes a difference to how you see the film. And one of the best, I watched the latest Mission Impossible movie the other night. And Mission Impossible is... a classic example of that.
Absolutely.
As is the Bond theme, as is the Pink Panther. Maybe not quite so much the Pink Panther, but Pink Panther's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it evokes comedy. It puts you in the mood.
I heard it earlier and I was like, I'm going to bring the Pink Panther up.
But Mission Impossible is fantastic because the minute it comes in over a piece of action, the minute that rhythm comes in, you know, right, we're in for something.
Yeah, something's happening.
Yeah, and it's nearly as good as the Bond theme, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It really is, because they both do that. It's that, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. Brilliantly used in Casino Royale. Mm-hmm. That's just amazing. The way, it's so skillful the way he does that. You don't hear it all the way through the movie, and then... And right at the very end, you get it. You get the reward. You know? It's wonderful that music can be so big a component in the art form, and because it is Jaws.
I mean,
it's your favourite film.
Yeah,
right. It makes that film.
It does. It does.
Any other film is just another shark film.
Yeah.
But because it's got that, and they say that about Bond films, they say, you know, any other, it's just another action film unless it's got that theme tune.
And as the film goes on, it keeps coming back in, just like the shark, and just like the issues and the horror aspect of Jaws itself. I think Alien as well. Alien's another one
that's
like that.
A good call.
Now, I'm not saying that, I mean, I don't think the score makes the film, because Alien is a pretty good film action wise itself, but it does continue to come back, that eerie sound.
But I can't remember the theme tune.
Right, okay, you can think of the Jaws one straight away because you hear it so much, but the
I don't remember the Alien one,
What about John Carpenter's The Thing? You know that
John Carpenter wrote his own.
Yeah.
And I used to have a few of his albums, actually.
Really?
A few of those, because he wrote so many. Like, what's the one Kurt Russell's in? The one Escape to New York.
Yeah.
I loved that score.
Yeah.
Tangerine Dream used to do a lot with them as well.
I recently watched the Thing, because we were talking about it on the podcast maybe last October for Halloween sort of time, and I was watching it, and it's quite a unique score. It's just that bum, 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 and that's all it is.
Yeah.
But because it's so simple and stripped back, I was like, I took note of it because of that, and I didn't know it as much as other scores. Mm. And now it's one of the ones I think about the most, because maybe it doesn't get as celebrated as much as, say, you know,
no,
Jaws
fair
or
enough.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think of ones like that are slightly more obscure, that are still huge films, but
absolutely,
you don't think of the score immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I mean, another classic one that you could say, and I think undoubtedly made the movie work just that little bit more than an average movie, was Titanic.
Mm.
That theme tune, regardless of whether you like it or not, I mean, it drove us all crazy listening to it.
Yeah.
You know, it helped the emotional content of that movie because it was in the score. Whereas that other song that drove us, a couple of other songs that drove us mad in the 80s, particularly or the early 90s, was what's that one in Four Weddings and a Funeral? The I feel it in my fingers.
Love Is All Around.
Love Is All Around, right?
What is it with people not liking that song? Score, on
but
this
it wasn't
podcast?
In the score. I liked the song. Last I liked week's... it when the original, even. You know?
Wait. Last week, talking about the Money Boys.
It was the Trogs. It was an old song.
Was it the Trogs? Wait. Mari Pelo.
Sorry, carry on. No, you were going to say something.
Last week we were talking to Cole and Lee from the Bonnie Boys, and they were like, this is one of the songs that we cut out because people wanted rid of it off the top spot of the charts.
Wait, wanted it off?
We're going to sing Love Is All Around.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't know.
They wanted it off. They said, right, no more.
No more.
Because it was going on forever.
It was.
But the thing was, that film, and it's a good film, but it wasn't in the movie. That it didn't feature in the movie. It wasn't. Well, it's in the movie, but it isn't in the orchestral score of the movie.
Got you, okay.
I don't think. Whereas another example would be that the Brian, what's his name? Oh God, how have I forgotten his
Brian
name?
Brian Adams.
Brian Adams. And Everything I Do For You.
Yes.
Right, from that, which made that movie popular because it was just forever.
What movie's
at number one? It's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Ah.
And everybody went to it because everybody knew about it because it was on Top of the Pops for a start every week, you know. So it's actually a good idea to promote a strong theme tune, I think. Mm-hmm. And that was involved in the score. That was incorporated in the score of the film. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, I think. And I'm not having a go. I'm not sort of saying it was better than the old days. It was in the sense that there were more recognisable themes that could make you more nostalgic for films that had been, even recent films, which doesn't exist as much anymore. And I don't think it's as much fun. That's all I'm saying.
There is still a few out there, obviously, as you know, that do have that aspect of it where you hear it and you immediately think of it. But it's not as big of a deal anymore.
No.
Because they do use a lot more kind of contemporary music, commercial music.
Absolutely.
That they
would
use. So when I was looking through some of them earlier on, there's lots of kind of modern films that you go, well, I've seen the film. I know the film. I like the film. But I can't think of the song.
Mm.
So first one that came up was Whiplash.
Yeah,
which is obviously about music.
Yeah,
right. Uh-huh. There's so many, you know, songs and tunes in that film itself. You can't think of the one. But if I maybe was to hear it somewhere, I would go, oh, it might remind me of the film. But it's not like known for it. La La Land's another one.
But see, musicals are different,
musical. Right? I know, but I just mean in terms of like that thread throughout it.
Mm.
There's plenty of them. Once I was looking at it, I was like, is there even music in that?
Exactly.
It's not as known. You
That's
know?
My point, and I'm saying it can be an artistic choice to say, like, this is, and that's, I'm absolutely cool with it. I'm not saying let's get rid of minimalist scores and scores where you don't know if it's a score or sound effects. Or I'm not meaning that. Of course I'm not, because I think it's great. All I'm saying is, though, that there has been a demise in the theme tune that creates some sort of
emotion
and magic when you see a film sometimes. And some films could do with it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because of films not being maybe in the same structure. I don't know. But I do know that when there is a theme that's intrinsically linked in the DNA of the movie through the characterization or situation, it works in television series now. Obviously, Star Wars is the example, you know, that when you, as soon as you hear Luke's theme or Leia's theme or...
Yep.
Darth Vader's theme, you know, it's a signal. It's some sort of semiotic, sort of giving you this right, look out. And it goes back to, I mean, Hitchcock used to do it. This
Absolutely.
His score, you mentioned a film, I think Jaws was the first film to do that kind of music since Bernard Herrmann did Psycho.
Psycho's a good one.
You know, but Psycho, you know, the thing that people remember is the violins in the shower.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily remember the theme.
Yeah, I don't, if I'm honest, until you said it.
So that's telling, you know, that in and of itself is telling, because he did so many great scores for Hitchcock. And I just think for playlists of these kind of themes, as we used to have LPs, would be great. I've got a few.
Oh, I like it.
So this is my copy of Star Wars.
Wow.
My original.
OMG, wait, you bought that in 1970-odd, 80-odd?
Yeah. Yeah, well, a bit after, actually, but yeah. Well, I might have nicked it off somebody. But no, I bought it. Yeah. So that's that. Well, and it's Marlow, it's the gatefold one, and it's got the... It's just all those themes. You know, people bought that and listened to it.
To Darth Vader's Imperial March.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Can I take this out?
Can
I?
Yeah, of course you can.
Some people are funny with that. Do not touch it without washing your hands.
No, no.
Whoa. This is why you don't like the fact that like the LP has made a return.
I love it. I love it.
I can imagine, yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Wow.
You know, sleeve notes and all that kind of thing. Reading the lyrics.
As you got the lyrics.
Yeah, oh, it's wonderful. Yeah.
Which is now just on, it's a thing on Spotify now. Do you know that? You can click for the lyrics on Spotify.
Yeah.
Which
is a good thing. I mean, I still listen to things. There's certain things, though, that you just... your listening habit is different than vinyl. And that's what I like about it. You concentrate. And it's got an interval.
It's got an interval. As a relatively young person, right?
Yeah.
I obviously missed this, right? I missed the vinyl.
You missed the vinyl?
Until it's out now. So I love hearing stories about people who just, that was the way music was listened to, which for us is like, it's great because we're just used to it in a totally different way.
Yeah.
Everything is so easily accessible.
Yeah.
That we can, any song, if you mention a song I've never heard of right now, within seconds I can listen to it and have an opinion on it. So just the thought of like people having to sit in their room all day and just listen to this thing on repeat to learn lyrics and to hear about the band and learn about the history and stuff, it's fascinating.
I think there's something about the excitement of hearing a piece of music as well when you can't just select it and get it. I mean, it's great that you can.
Yeah,
don't
get
me wrong. You know, I'm really not being a fuddy-duddy, but there was something about the fact that you either had to have the record or wait for it to come onto the radio
and try and tape it
to hear it.
So
when you did hear it, it was so much more exciting.
Same with films,
particularly. Yeah, I mean, this was my favourite album.
Wow.
When I was growing up, my favourite album, and it's fairly weather-beaten.
Jeez.
And it was a 10th anniversary collection of the first 7 Bourne films. And that was my education in music, basically, was listening to John Barry. I used to listen to this kind of music more than I listened to pop records or rock records, because it was an education.
It's the familiar sound and it relates to the film, you know, you have got that connection.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I remember because my first record player was a mono record player, and the first time I heard this in stereo even, it drove me crazy. So that's a very special record. And that was the first Bond film I ever saw, so that was quite exciting.
Living Let Die.
Having that. And
what year was Living Let Die?
Incredible score, 73.
73.
I heard it recently. I watched the Blu-ray of this recently, and I heard things in the score that I'd never heard before.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
That was so exciting.
But if you watch like a 4K or something, you go, what is this?
Yeah, wow. Incredible. And I don't want to go on about specific movies or anything like that.
No, I love it.
But I think that, you know, I have a top five.
So what I was going to suggest then, before we talk about the top five, is that I put out a social media message to some of the followers, right, and to say, what is your favourite, what is the greatest movie theme song of all time?
And how many people got back in touch?
6. Expecting loads, and we only got 6. Now, these 6
nobody cares.
Are friends and family, right, essentially, no strangers, which is fine, we love our friends and family, but I think it further solidifies your point.
Yeah.
When you put that on social media, something as easy as Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, you don't have someone going, obviously you'll get, the ones I've got are like Harry Potter, Star Wars.
But can I respond to that
Please.
In some way? Because I think it's, and I'm going to respond through the art of gurning. Okay? That's me.
That's the thumbnail. Excellent.
Yeah, okay.
So do you want to hear the responses?
Yeah.
You're not going to be shocked by any of them.
Okay.
So I'll just warn you.
Are these all fairly young people that you think are old people? Are they genuinely old people?
Well, these ones on Instagram, they're all my age. So there you go.
Right.
You get one on Facebook.
All right, okay. Right. Come on then.
Great.
Fling them at me.
We have, in fact, I'll start with the people who were on the podcast last week, Cole and Lee of the Bonnie Boys. The Bonnie Boys. They are indeed Bonnie. I got, Pretty Woman Maybe. The Pretty Woman obviously got their Pretty Woman walking down the street. Is that the theme tune? Or is that, because clearly that wasn't a song beforehand.
It was, well, it wasn't even the title of the film to start with. It was a much darker film initially. In fact, she was on TV talking about that recently. It was called 3000.
Julia Roberts.
Originally, because that was how much money he was going to pay her.
Right, got you.
And at the end, he just leaves her standing in the street and...
And they play that off. Nice upbeat song.
Yeah, no, no, that was the original script. Right, but someone came along and said, no, let's, and they had the idea, they had the song, and they thought, yeah, let's use the title and da da da. But yeah, I guess, like, would you say that was a score? Was it in the score?
I wouldn't say it's a score, I would say that's a theme song.
Theme song.
Theme tune.
And does it have many songs in it? Is it like,
I've actually never seen it, one of those.
Soundtrack albums where you get different songs.
Not that I know of.
A score.
I don't think it's as many as maybe some films from around that time. Mm. But I know that one. I know that song.
It definitely had an effect on, it didn't do any harm to the success of the movie.
In the mood of the film.
It kept the film in the. See, a good. It used to keep a film in the public eye for much, much longer than it might otherwise have done nowadays, anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, because some of these songs would stay in the charts for the whole summer.
Well, now it's different with the way that the charts work. It's all social media songs.
Yeah.
And social media.
And the turnover's very quick.
TikTok is recently, it was getting so big, and all the songs in the charts and that were being used in films and media and stuff were all from TikTok and got big and popular because of TikTok. And now I don't know what company it is. Is it Universal that just took off all their music? Universal?
Yeah.
They decided no more of our songs on TikTok because it was getting ridiculous. So now on TikTok you can't use any of their music.
I mean, I think that was the way it was. Yeah, I think with songs, just songs.
Right.
Some great examples. Well, two of them are the Beatles, actually, for me. One of them is A Hard Day's Night, and the other one is when they sing, is it Can't Buy Me Love in German at the beginning of Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, wow. Yes, that's a great moment.
It's a German version. Which one is it? I can't remember which one it is, but it's brilliant.
Opening song in Jojo Rabbit.
And the way they use Heroes at the end. Now, Heroes is overused, but it's brilliantly used in Jojo Rabbit, I think. Fantastic.
I want to hold your hand.
That's it, yeah.
In German. So they use those. I think that's a brilliant movie anyway.
It's a great movie,
absolutely. But it uses those songs so well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's the best use of Heroes. And the other one is the beginning of, for me, one of the best uses of a song is the beginning of Trainspotting, when you have Lust for Life.
Absolutely. That's one. I know that's a song, right? But that not only does that remind me of that film, I wasn't even alive in the mid-90s. I was the late 90s, but that reminds me of that time.
Yeah.
And culture in Scotland, you know, that song.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, right, all
the excitement and the energy of it is incredible.
And of course, it starts off with obviously Ewan McGregor running down the street, the high adrenaline, you know. Okay, Titanic is another one from Cole, and Harry Potter, which is obviously going to be the most popular one, I'm going to assume. Right, so responses from Instagram. We have Lewis or Leo from our band on the Good Bit Podcast, who does our music, the Feral Tones. We have Indiana Jones was his first suggestion.
I think
which
that's
is
the best John Williams one.
You think it's best John Williams?
I do. Well, no, actually, no. But I think as a Star Wars aside, because I think that's just.
Well, the thing with Star Wars, though, because there's so many of those absolute epics in the one score.
Yeah. But you know how he did lots of that were similar.
Yeah,
like Superman and you know, things
Jurassic
like that. I think Indiana Jones is a cracker,
it's a great one, absolutely. Ross Ian Martin, our good friend, not sure if this counts, but Stuck in the Middle with You because of that scene in Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, Reservoir Dogs was such a low budget, they had to use, and the fact they've got that song, you know what I mean, is always
sometimes it redefines a song. I mean, that's a Jerry Rafferty song, isn't it? And we'd all have different reasons to remember that song until Reservoir Dogs comes along and uses it to so many different people, you know.
But I mean, Reservoir Dogs,
it's good. More people should listen to Jerry Rafferty anyway. Well, that's good.
There you go. Fraser Campbell, my good close personal friend, been on the podcast before. Star Wars 2001 A Space Odyssey. There's a score.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything jumping off the page, but I do know when you hear it, it's a long score, and they play moments of the score for long periods of time because the scenes are so long, the slow moving of the ship and, you know, all that sort of thing. So that probably adds to that, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I didn't include that one because it's classical music.
Fair, yeah.
That's reconstituted. So, but he's right. Yeah, it's huge.
A classic one.
And they used it for the theme tune of the moon landings as well.
That's
the
true.
Apollo moon landings. So it was kind of all, you know, in fact, that pretty much helped with Space Oddity as well. Mm-hmm. That whole thing, it was very carefully well released.
Jurassic Park, he says as well, Toy Story. Danny Elfman.
See, Danny Elfman's he's a fantastic composer.
Yeah,
and actually, he's still waving the flag.
Okay.
Of you know, creating themes in terms of, you know, like the Edward Scissorhands score is fantastic. Absolutely gorgeous. And you should listen to that one, especially the one when he's sculpting, it's ice sculpting, and it creates all the snow effects. And I remember, I've not seen it for years, but there's Winona Ryder's wondering at the snow that's created because of his sculpting. And there's a particularly beautiful piece of music used there.
I'm just going right down to his filmography. I know this is Iona's job.
I'll just go sit and have a cup of tea, Amanda.
He did some of the new Marvel films, actually. He did the Doctor Strange one, Men in Black, Dumbo. Mm-hmm. He did recently the Grinch. Mm-hmm. 50 Shades Freed. Did he do that one?
Yeah, he did the Batman theme in the late 80s as well, with Tim Burton, those first Batman films. And those themes.
Charlie's Dog Factory.
Especially Batman Returns, actually, the second one. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's because it's got a Christmas theme, but the opening of Batman Returns, I think, is fantastic.
Absolutely.
And it's the score that helped, because it tells the whole backstory of Cobblepot, the penguin.
Penguin.
And it's Pee Wee Herman's in it, actually, as the penguin's father, I think.
Yeah. Is it Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. A little cameo, but it's brilliantly done. And the music's incredible, and the way that it goes into the theme that he wrote for the previous film.
Yeah.
And I particularly like that kind of thing, when a theme is woven into something.
It's creative.
And not based on, but woven in somehow. I prefer that.
Did you see that moment at the Oscars with Michael Keaton in the front row, and it was Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger? Uh-huh. He goes, "You son of a bitch, showing your face around here."
Aye.
And Michael Keaton's playing into that. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it's fantastic, because he's played him again recently, didn't he?
He was going
Batman.
To.
Is he not actually in the film?
In the
Batman?
Was it The Flash? The
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see it because all that stuff came out about him, Ezra Miller and stuff like that, and I was like, no one's going to go and see it. But I was really excited about that, actually.
Yeah, I've not got around to seeing that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I tell you one for Iona is to look up is, because I can't remember who did it. Who did the score for the scores for? Is somebody very well? It's Hans Zimmer.
For Dunkirk.
I already know it's Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer.
But for Inception. That's a cracker.
That's a good one.
You know?
Yeah.
But again, is there
he's
a strong theme? Arguably there is, actually. Quite a strong theme.
Well, he's still doing these classic scores, though.
Mm-hmm.
If Hans Zimmer's doing it, then...
Yeah.
Who's the guy? Can you find the guy who won the Oscar this year?
Ludwig.
That was for Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. He's also...
Yeah.
Doing loads of them as well.
I don't remember it, but I remember at the time liking it because I do listen to the score of things.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people don't, but I do. But I can't remember it.
Yeah,
I remember just think the whole film was great. So.
I have another suggestion in terms of the way to look at a score or the way to look at a song that reminds you of the movie, and it is either the opening credits or the end credits. What song do they use to send you home?
Yeah.
So another one that Fraser suggested is Spider-Man, right? So, of course, you've got the Spider-Man classic song. However, there's a song at the end of the first Spider-Man film, which is so early 2000s by Chad Kroeger of Nickelback, called Hero, right?
Uh-huh.
So you hear that song, it's not even a Nickelback song, it's Chad Kroeger's song, but it reminds me of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Now, that's something totally different because it's a separate song that they've picked to have the credits roll with. You can have, obviously, a lot of times they just play the score. Mm. A lot of people leave during the credits, that sort of thing. But I guess what you want is for people to sit there and see
you
the credits.
You want to be arrested.
You know?
You want to be arrested.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and there are certain films where you would do that. And I used to stay and listen to the Harry Potter music because I think that score is really good. But the one that always arrested me was Moby. Extreme Ways at the end of the Jason Bourne films.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you would just go, bring it on, because it's fantastic.
The Bourne ones are good.
You know, and he uses that as when it comes in. It's not really used in the films at all.
Yeah.
But it comes in at the end, Extreme Ways, and it's fantastic the way they use it. Love it.
Iona, give us the one you got from Facebook, suggestion you got from Facebook.
Oh, it was Dirty Dancing, Time of My Life.
Mm-hmm. There's one. That's a classic song, but I would say every time that people hear that song now, they think of the film.
That was a thing about the 80s in particular, I would say. Maybe people will disagree. If you disagree, get in touch.
Yeah.
But there was things like, what did you say? Dirty Dancing.
Time of My Life.
Yeah, there's another one, Berlin, Top Gun. Take My Breath Away.
Absolutely.
Right, and that was in the charts forever. Mm-hmm. There was one, Desperately Seeking Susan, that a Madonna song, that was in forever because it was linked to that film.
That's the name of the film?
Desperately Seeking Susan, yeah. I remember it. Bum, 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 bum. Get into the groove, yeah. It's ingrained.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it was on, it was in the charts, it was on MTV all the time.
Yep.
It's different now, but I think that was a particular thing about the 80s. I mean, even Rocky.
Absolutely.
Living in America.
Yeah. Or Eye of the Tiger.
And there's so many. And Rocky IV particularly was very guilty of these kind of things.
I think Rocky III is the best one. That's got Eye of the Tiger in it.
Yeah,
stuff,
fair enough. Yeah.
But yeah, then what was I going to say?
A lot of really bad ones as well. That's another podcast.
I was going to say, do you want to tell me them now or you want to wait?
I don't know. There is one very bad one. There was one bad one that I love Paul McCartney, okay? Mm-hmm. Hands down. Man's a genius. But there was one song I remember that he did in the 80s that was god-awful, and it was Spies Like Us. He did the song that went with the film. Have you ever heard of Spies Like Us?
No.
Is that why? My case.
Is that why?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Appalling.
I can go watch it.
Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. It was a follow-up on their success in something else. Can't remember what it was. Wasn't Trading Places, but Dan Aykroyd. I can't remember. But anyway.
Chevy Chase hasn't been Trading
look
Places.
Look up Spies Like Us.
Okay. Cool. Planes, Trains and Automobiles. There's one.
Yeah.
There's a score I like. Just when you said that sort of error.
I can't remember the score.
Maybe it's just because you watch it kind of more often, more frequently. Yeah. You kind of get drawn
Ghostbusters.
In. Ghostbusters, absolutely.
Was another one.
E.T.
Against All Odds was for Officer and a Gentleman, I think.
Okay.
I think.
You mentioned Top Gun, Danger Zone. Is that one?
Aye.
That's a good one. Okay, shall we do the top fives?
Go on then, because we want people to need to go to their bed.
Yeah, okay.
They'll be listening to this. They've gone to bed. They're lying asleep, nearly at the point between awake and sleep. And I think I'll listen to the Good Bit podcast just to see, because they're talking about music this week. I might enjoy that. And with the dulcet tones of Chris and Uncle Ian.
Uncle Ian.
I'm just making up shit until you speak.
I've got it. Okay, cool. I was just
okay, good.
So am I doing all five of mine right now? Or are we doing five and five?
Oh,
and
let's
four
do
four?
A turn about, you know, turn about, in honour of time gone by.
Okay, cool. I have two from the same franchise. Is that okay?
I don't care what you do.
Okay. My number five then is the classic Star Wars theme, the original Star Wars tune.
Right.
Would be my number five, mainly because of the absolutely iconic fashion of it and sounding of it, but also just because I've heard it so many times in my life, but you still are quite happy to watch that opening scroll because that music is adding to it.
Good.
Yeah.
I think I agree.
Yeah.
It's Star Wars, the whole thing.
I mean, there's so many, though, in Star Wars.
See, I'm used to albums, so the whole score's in for me. You know, that was my number, what? Can music be iconic?
Of course it can.
Can it? I thought iconic was a visual thing. What's the equivalent of iconic for audio?
It's like a go for you.
There you go. That'll keep Ion on because I don't know.
Come back to this in 17 minutes.
I don't mean that Ion is not capable of finding it. I wasn't meaning that. I suddenly realised, oh gosh, that was a
bit. Of course it's iconic. It doesn't have to be a visual
thing. No, I don't think it is. I think iconic has to be a visual,
so what would
recognisable thing.
Okay, well, maybe give us your number five.
My number five, Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
Oh yes, very good.
You've got to have Sergio Leone in there.
Yeah.
Because it's... I'm not going to say iconic, but it's so
recognisable
and sums up an entire genre.
Absolutely.
And is and not only a genre, but an actual director. It goes with Sergio Leone. Mm-hmm. That's something.
The West
to be a director that has a music score that
right
sums up your collective work,
your whole life,
you know. He had another great film, Sergio Leone. There's another one of his films had a fantastic score. It's not my top five, called Once Upon a Time in America. And the music in that film is stunning.
Yeah.
Ennio Morricone. It's beautiful stuff. Ennio Morricone deserves to be on the
absolutely
list, but he's not there.
Seven Samurai, Yojimbo, absolutely.
Anywho, yeah. What's your next one?
My next one, I was just thinking when you said... Once Upon a Time What did you say? Once Upon a Time in what? What did you say?
Once Upon a Time in America.
Once Upon a Time in America. Yeah. I thought Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Tarantino film. But then I thought about Pulp Fiction. I don't have that on my list. But again, Pulp Fiction is a selection of songs from that era. Mm-hmm. But you do have that opening, I suppose.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah.
So epic, but it's not my top five. Okay. My number four would be Back to the Future.
Ah, nice. Is that John Williams?
It's John Williams, yeah. And I don't know why.
You're right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great.
I think around 2011, 2012 sort of time is when I decided, okay, I'm now fully going to immerse myself in films, right? That's when I kind of started really getting into it.
You converted.
I converted. Mm-hmm. I was always into it all my life, but I always kind of, I'd come and go with them, whereas I was fully involved. And it was through doing YouTube videos and stuff like that, I kind of started getting into them a lot. And around that time was also when I started collecting movies and DVDs, Blu-rays, that sort of thing. And the Back to the Future trilogy was when I got then. And I kind of decided this is going to be my new favourite franchise. And just around that time, I watched them all the time. It was I hadn't seen them before. I was studying them. The only time I'd seen them before was I studied it in English class in school. Back to the Future, think about that now. We've got to write an essay about Back to the Future. It's crazy. I'm very jealous of my previous.
You could get a degree in it.
Or get a DeLorean and go back and do it.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, so we did that. Really enjoyed Back to the Future. So when I hear that opening of that music, I kind of think back to that time.
Yeah, it's cool.
So not only does music remind you of the film itself, but also the time of your life.
Yeah.
I have a playlist on Spotify that I play all the time in the car. It's just for a classics playlist, and that can mean anything, lots of different things to a lot of people. But I always ask me this before, why is this song, this really random song from 2000 and whatever, in your classics playlist? Surely classic means song from the 70s and 80s and stuff. Mm. But I mean, classics in terms of, does it take you back to a particular moment in your life? You know what I mean? Uh-huh. That can be from any year or whatever. Mm. So Back to the Future, that score, I have a bit of an attachment to, because of when I just started kind of being obsessive about films as much as I was about wrestling or whatever before. Is that score for Back to the Future?
Yeah.
So that's my number four.
Great. And it's a brilliant John Williams one.
What's the equivalent of iconic?
Well, like, so just as like a, like iconic, it's obviously just like your normal, but like not biology, that's not the right word, but like the scientific, I don't know. Iconic memory is sensory memory from visual input. Echoic memory is sensory memory from auditory input.
Echoic.
I've never heard it before in my life.
Thank you. I didn't know that.
No pun intended.
Echoic. So, it's just a guess.
But if you said that to someone, though, they'd think, what are you talking about?
You'd sound like a total wanker, wouldn't you?
They would think you were saying iconic wrongly.
Yeah. I'm glad I know that. Thank you, Ryan.
Yes, thank you. Every day's a school day on the Good Bit Pod.
Yeah, brilliant. My next one. My next one's by Elmer Bernstein.
Not Leonard Bernstein.
No.
No.
Leonard Bernstein's not on my list, although he's one of my favourite people.
I know,
people.
What I was going to say to you about.
But he's not there, because he did musicals and stuff. Right. And, you know, it's not the same. But Elmer Bernstein did a theme that is hands down, again, one of the most fantastic, recognisable themes. Maybe not to you youngsters. And I know that in post, you're going to start playing it already. And it's playing right now. And it's fantastic, isn't it?
It's great, I love it.
It's brilliant, and it's the Magnificent Seven.
Oh yes, of course, I do know that one,
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a bit like The Big Country. I always used to get it confused with that one, which is a very old cowboy film. But cowboy films in general, my dad used to watch a lot of them when it was okay to watch lots of cowboy films.
Yeah.
And so I saw them because he watched them, but the theme tunes were amazing. And the Western... some of the Western soundtracks are incredible. And there's a kind of Western soundtrack to the film Zulu as well, which is clever, I think, the way that John Barry did that. But anyway, back to Magnificent Seven. It's just, it's one of those themes. When it comes in, it lifts you into the next chapter of the movie.
Yeah.
It just, and there's so many different themes. It's like Star Wars in the sense that there are different themes
for
different
progresses.
Parts of the movie that signify different things and characters. I just think it's an incredible storytelling theme, apart from being quite heroic.
Yeah.
In a foolhardy way, being heroic, because it's kind of wistful. It's a great piece of music that you should actually just divorce it from the film and just sit and listen to it. And the way it works, I don't know orchestras terribly well. Technically, I've never been in an orchestra or a conductor, but from an appreciation point of view, it's fucking great, man.
Yeah. So. What did you make of the newer Magnificent Seven film?
I watched it. I
wasn't the biggest
it.
Fan.
But again, it's just a Western. If it doesn't have that theme.
It doesn't. Yeah, it's taken out of it.
It's not the same. No, it's not the same. It didn't work in the same way because it didn't have the same. Oh, I don't know. That's simplicity. Things are always a bit more complicated now because they need to be more complex, or we have to explain the villain or something like that. Whereas it was just, heroes and villains.
And that was that.
To coin a very good Beach Boys song, but very weird.
Yeah.
It's heroes and villains. It's simple in that sense.
Okay, my number three then.
Okay.
Is Home Alone.
Oh, right, nice.
You know the Home Alone?
I've never watched it.
What?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
You've never seen Home Alone?
No.
I can't believe it.
I was thinking about doing a watch-along video.
This Christmas?
This Christmas, but I'll have to wait till next Christmas. I'll do it with Iona.
We'll do it on Twitch.
Yeah, aye. Yeah, have you seen it?
Stream it live.
Aye. Oh, well, you can guide me through it then.
Home Alone is one of my all-time favourite movies, and my top five favourite movies of all time.
All right.
The first Home Alone. And the score, does it make it? I think so. Because it's one of those ones that continues to come back throughout the film, because you notice the danger that Kevin McAllister's in.
Yeah.
And it is obviously funny and a really beautiful film, but there is a sense of danger there. And when I was a kid watching this film, you know, one of the worst and most scary thoughts was your house being burgled, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, and it was really scary. So hearing that song reminds me of my childhood and it reminds me of Christmas.
I think these are great reasons for...
And, you know...
I totally agree, yeah. I could say the same for my choices as well.
Yeah.
Definitely, because they all have an aspect of nostalgia.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not a Christmas song, because obviously when you hear a Christmas song,
it's,
you know, reminds you of Christmas. But, like, this song itself, along with other Christmas films, like...
What is it? What's it called? What is it, the song? Or do you know who wrote the music for it?
It's John Williams.
It's another John Williams one.
Yeah, yeah. So Carol of the Bells is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting you on it, Iona. I'm not getting it on my phone here. So the main title was called Somewhere in My Memory, and it's from John Williams and the Boston Pops Orchestra. But there's plenty of other ones. It was a full score, obviously.
Yeah.
There's versions of White Christmas in there, Carol of the Bells, as I was saying before. And then there's the moment where, not to spoil the film for you, but there's a moment where he's preparing for the burglars to return to his house, and the music kicks in at this one moment in the film. And when I was younger, I had it on VHS and I had it on DVD, and I would always ask my parents to skip to that moment.
Mm.
Because that's the moment the film really kicks in, and it's that part of the music.
Yeah,
you know.
See, you could argue it's the same plot and premise. I've not seen it, but it's the same plot and premise as Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Or Zulu, where it's you're facing overwhelming odds who you know are going to attack,
you've got no chance,
and you have to try and defend yourself.
Yeah.
You know, they use a bit of that in Skyfall at the end as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, good stuff.
Yes.
Good stuff. So you're very John Williams heavy.
I know, I didn't do it on purpose.
But that's okay. I'd be John Barry heavy, actually. I'm purposely not being, because I would have been embarrassed.
Well, if I'm honest, I think the other two are John Williams as well, without even thinking. So.
Okay. But Star Wars.
I'm not conforming to anybody.
I've already said Star Wars. They're in my list. Okay.
Number three?
Yeah, Star Wars, yeah. And
opening title?
Actually, I'm fonder of. I love the Vader's theme, particularly, and because it reminds me of, this is going to sound incredibly wanky. people are going to think, and quite rightly, they're going to think, what a wanker. He is. But I'll prove it, actually. It's okay, are you a wanker if you can actually go, but I can cite an example? Or does that just make you a boring old fart?
It might make you a nerd. But I think we've embraced it anyway.
Completely, yeah. Oh, totally. I've leaned into that.
Yes.
Yeah. But the Darth Vader theme reminds me of Gustav Mahler's music, particularly his third symphony at the very beginning, which blows my mind. Yes. Particularly when it's conducted by...
By?
Leonard Bernstein.
Oh, really?
Even I'm like that.
Setting you up for that there. Leonard Bernstein. Yes.
God, no podcast is safe.
Yes. Wait, yeah. So
No, it's true. You could listen to the opening bars of Mahler's Third. You're probably going to put this in post, aren't you? I don't know.
Probably. Well, Mahler's Third is in Maestro, right? You mentioned that before in the film.
No, it's the second.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, it's not in Maestro at all. The third. No, but it reminds me of. You can hear echoes of it, and John Williams is sort of borrowed that a little bit, which is great. You know, superb. So what's your number?
Great. My number two is another Star Wars, and it's Duel of the Fates from The Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. With the choir.
Yeah, it's great.
Darth Maul is standing there, and spoiler to those who have not seen The Phantom Menace coming in. Yeah. But Qui-Gon Jinn has been not killed yet, but he's been stabbed.
Yeah.
And there's these barriers stopping Ewan McGregor.
That's one of the best bits in the movie.
It's one of the best bits of the whole franchise.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi standing behind these barriers. Darth Maul's there with his double-sided lightsaber.
Yeah.
And Duel of the Fates kicks in, and it's all about the fate of Anakin. It's like he's fighting for Anakin's safety. Mm-hmm. The Duel of the Fate of this wee boy. Yeah. I think there's an argument to say a lot of people kind of prefer this one to any of the other Star Wars songs.
Yeah, possibly.
Because it comes up a lot. It's used a lot in memes.
It was used lots retrospectively as well, later films as well.
Absolutely, bring it back. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. There's also honourable mentions to some of the newer ones. There's some beautiful songs in The Last Jedi. Rey's theme to introduce the character of Rey is amazing. Really reminds me of that time in my life again. And also the song they use where Anakin and Obi-Wan are having that fight in the end of Revenge of the Sith. And I think I just searched on Spotify and it's just called Anakin versus Obi-Wan, but it's with the fire planet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those would be honourable mentions, but the main theme, I'd say, Vader's theme as well, and Duel of the Fates would be my favourite Star Wars songs.
I think it's a really good show.
Aren't we cool?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Have you ever seen the somebody did a 3.5 hour, four hour cut of the three prequels?
They made a cut into three of us.
Yeah. I watched it on YouTube.
Might be good, yeah.
It was on YouTube. It was excellent.
I saw on YouTube the transition between the end of Rogue One and the start of A New Hope.
Great.
Brilliant,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, your number two.
Okay. My number two is Mission Impossible.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's
great.
That good.
Yeah.
It's that good.
Is that just because, not just because, but because it's fresh
in your
mind?
It was a great television theme, and television themes in the 60s, that's another podcast. Television themes in the 60s were
TV themes
incredible.
Yeah.
Really good. So many to mention. In America and in Britain and in Europe as well. Lots of brilliant television themes. Fantastic, as were some of the cinemas.
That's a good idea.
But you can play a game. Kevin MacLeod. The actor, he used to play this game. It used to be a party game they'd play about challenging each other about what television themes you would know.
Yeah.
He was very good.
There's a really good one on YouTube where it's like guess the intro before a certain time or before they start singing or something like that. That's always a good
game. I can
do
all the gun barrels in the Bond film before he shoots the gun.
Nice.
I can name them all.
That's slightly obsessive too, but that's great.
Yeah. I don't even need to see them.
I love it.
I can. Just the music. Before he shoots the gun, I can name them all.
And this summer, we're thinking about doing some form of Bond thing. I don't know what I'm getting myself into.
No, that's how nerdy I am.
That's good.
You know, I spent time on that.
I'm like that for some things too, you know, like we talked about wrestling before, but maybe not as...
I don't know if I'm proud of it.
I don't know.
So that was my number two.
All right, well, we've already talked about my number one.
Which is?
It should be Jaws.
Jaws.
Jaws score, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's the best one. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Ridiculous, isn't it?
Most recognisable, most imitated.
Yeah.
Different emotions, one extreme to the other.
Mm.
Genuine fear.
I know.
Along with relief.
Along with probably the funniest theme tune.
Absolutely.
As well, isn't it?
I mean, the story is, obviously, they said, you know, write me something about a shark killer movie. Mm-hmm. And it starts off with these trumpets, and they're like, no, like, a killer we're talking about here. And then John Williams is like, hang on. Mm-hmm. And then that's the one they use. And even, you know, people say that in audience reviews and stuff like that. Like, I had no idea what I was about to watch from not only what you see, but also what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the best one. And personal favourite too, probably because it's my favourite movie, but also just because when I still genuinely, getting scared is the wrong word. As you know, I'm not a big horror guy or anything like that, right? I don't like, I guess Jaws is still considered a horror movie, but now it's a PG and stuff like that. It's a family film, it's a thriller now. But still, to this day, it makes me feel uneasy, man. Like, see when you hear the music and you see the shark and the blood, and no matter how many times I've seen it.
It's so good that you imagine music where there maybe isn't. I mean that as a compliment. There's that, you know, that reverse zoom shot
with Roy Scheider's guy.
I remember, but I don't know if it is there, a sort of like a sliding string sound.
Absolutely.
Is there?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
And it goes back into the score after
really
that.
Good. Yeah.
It's one of the best moments, It's a Spielberg, not Spielberg, a Hitchcock technique, right?
I think so. I think it's an homage of sorts, but it's just so well done. You know, the way it is, it's a textbook.
It's brilliant.
All those bits.
Perfect film. Well, I don't need to ask what your first one is.
Yeah, and for various reasons, you know, a nostalgic very much, but also because of that thing that it lends itself to the thing that you're watching, and it makes it all the more exciting because it's there.
Yeah.
And that's...
We're talking about the Bond film.
Surely why... You know, I love what composers do for the visual media. I think they take it, it's almost the same as what people do when they stick a film through Photoshop, or not Photoshop, Final Cut or something like that. They grade it, or the way they cut it together, and music adds to that. I thought it should do, and the best composers are so skillful in the way that they do that, and they elevate the experience of what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And I think that's an incredible skill and a wonder, in fact. For me, John Barry was the first guy I was aware of who made music for films. And I listened to all of his stuff. I love all of his music, even the music he wrote way after he stopped doing films. And it was just symphonic music that he would write. It was beautiful, you know. Yeah. And he's got a style that you can recognise. You can almost... more or less recognise a John Barry theme or piece of music as soon as you hear it. So in that way, he is a auteur.
Yeah.
I suppose is that a word you'd use for a composer. But I absolutely, hands down, I think he's my favourite composer of all time. And his music, I find it really moving, nostalgic. But I also find it's a perfect example of a piece of music, if it's not there, redefines the film. When it is there, it makes it what it is.
Absolutely.
And it's not... we're talking about the Bond theme. I frown with... I've liked some of the modern Bond songs, but I find the problem with a lot of the songs is they try and take the Bond theme and write a new song to the chords of the Bond theme.
Right.
And it's like, John Barry didn't do that. You know, Goldfinger is not the same chords as the Bond theme, but he weaves the Bond theme into it.
Yeah.
Thunderball has got a wonderful moment where it goes from the tune of the song and it goes into the Bond theme. And it's a moment where you go, oh, yes, you know, because it goes there. It hasn't been there at all. And then it goes into it and you're like, oh, this is...
Yeah.
These are brilliant moments, you know, the way that he does that. But Diamonds Are Forever... which is a very silly film, but the way that the two themes, the Bond theme and the theme of the movie, weave together is so brilliantly done. That taught me a lot about how to put two harmonies against the same chord structure and all this kind of thing. And I was just like, this is amazing, you know. And that's it sums up what I think a perfect theme tune should do. It makes the difference. It makes adds to the definition, and it just makes it special. And you sort of go, oh, it lifts you up.
Changes the film. And
it's not the only one, but that's my favourite. Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's the defining. And there's a few that float under the floaters. There's a few floaters, Chris.
Yeah.
You know, have you got any floaters?
Not currently.
No.
That's a great shout. And I think the one that we've not mentioned that I think a lot of people might be thinking about listening to this is Pirates of the Caribbean. I think that's a good modern one. But I also got some responses from my sister last minute that better mention before she kills me. Pirates of the Caribbean's there. Happily Ever After from Tangled is one of hers. And to be honest with you, that is actually a good one because Disney ended up going in so many different directions around that time in the mid-2000s to late early 2010s even. with those films like Frozen and stuff, and they became their own monumental films, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But Tangled has got that kind of hint to the classic Disney films. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've seen Tangled, but it's like this beautiful music throughout it that hints back. There's some good new songs as well, yeah. but hints back, and there's a particular moment where the characters are kind of on a boat and they're going towards a castle, and it's so Disney, but it's 2010, 2011 sort of time, which was a whole new generation of Disney, and that film does actually a good job of calling back to the originals. She also mentioned Harry Potter, the music of the MCU, which I can't believe we've not mentioned yet, actually, because we know that the MCU and the Avengers films are guilty pleasures in some way, but there are actually some great music in there.
They've been
absolutely.
Good. They've been good recent examples of absolutely. Their theme tune. Yeah,
uh-huh. Really good ones. And they, again, yeah. kind of like Star Wars, a lot of the characters have their own song. Iron Man's yeah. got his own song,
and
Captain
the
America.
And they're signifiers within the movie, in the plot
Spider-Man,
as well. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
And they change it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's epic moments in those later films like Infinity War and Endgame and Civil mm-hmm. War even, mm-hmm. where the music kicks in and it's like, mm-hmm. oh yes, we've been waiting for it sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, it helps achieve that emotional depth that you need for some of yeah. these ridiculous plots to suddenly become quite...
Yeah.
you know, human and
absolutely
and moving, you know.
Because sometimes yeah. the music moves you
yeah.
and you're feeling
oh,
yourself
every time
connected
yeah.
to the characters because uh-huh. of that, absolutely. And she mentioned Monsters, Inc. as well, which is another good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. She bought new jammies with the characters on it, that's why she's thinking about that.
Oh, well, there you go. I think that's an important yeah. thing you were saying about emotional. I mean, for me, music is the thing that moves me more than anything.
Right.
A piece of music can set me off
yeah.
easily. You know, and I can think of many tunes that can do that. And I don't know if a film can on its own, but mm-hmm. certainly with the music, it's the music that does it.
Yeah.
That's the component that, you know, takes you to that place. But there's other pieces of music as well. I'm missing the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
There's music that seems like Shaft.
Yes.
Which is astonishingly good. You know, and you just know what it is.
Right.
No, but I'm
exactly
being serious, Isaac Hayes, you know.
It's, yeah.
it's, they played it at Glastonbury last year, didn't they, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or recently, yeah. The other one is that we missed, now you won't know this movie necessarily, is Laurel and Hardy.
I know Laurel and Hardy well, yeah.
Yeah.
Once
and it's that tune, The Cuckoo.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't say I know the tune as much, I must say,
yeah.
I know the films.
But it was the thing that identified,
yeah.
you know, them so strongly, and it's... comedic, and it sums them up. Mm-hmm. That was a tune that everybody knew at one time,
yeah.
you know. Another one, Bullet. Bullet is the Steve McQueen movie from the 60s. Not a lot of dialogue in it, but the theme tune is just, it predates Shaft, but it's sort of in the same category. But Lalo Schifrin, mm-hmm. same guy that did Mission Impossible, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, Dr. Zhivago. Mm. I can't remember the name of the composer, Dr. Zhivago, but he did Lawrence of Arabia as well,
right.
and he did the David Lean movies, and they were astonishingly epic scores that went with epic films. You know, they needed an epic score because they were epic movies. They were on such a massive scale, no CGI, just,
yeah.
you know, and so they deserved those, and they were totally recognisable. You know, they summed everything up. We mentioned Harry Potter. I put that on the list. But The Mission yeah. was another one for me.
You showed us another, that
another
film
Ennio Morricone score. It's beautiful. Ennio Morricone was a phenomenal composer. Just from Good, the Bad and the Ugly mm-hmm. to Once Upon a Time in America to The Mission to...
Seven Samurai.
The Untouchables.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the score of The Untouchables is incredible. You know, because it's a very percussive score.
Yeah.
And
urgent
and disturbing, you know. So, yeah, I'm actually remiss in the fact that I haven't named any female composers, but that's just my life experience.
Well, this is the issue, isn't it?
And the ones that I've come across.
Yeah.
So I apologise for that. But if there are any, I'd love for people to
absolutely, but
tell
you know,
me and I'd look them up.
And a lot of that is obviously a lot more modern films as well, but you know, these are the ones that kind of have stuck with us. You know, sometimes, especially when I was younger, I didn't know who wrote them. I just knew they were the song of that movie, and that's what stuck with me. We mentioned this the other day, the soundtrack of the Dark Knight films as well sometimes go, who did that? Is it Hans Zimmer?
Yeah,
so he's along with Nolan and all those films that you mentioned, with Dunkirk, for example, and Interstellar is another good one of that sort of thing. So, loads of people out there. David Fincher's got some good people absolutely. Doing scores for his film.
It is male heavy. It is male heavy. And I know of a few composers, female composers who are through being interested in Spitfire software and stuff, and I've come across, you know, so I think it's changing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's changing fast.
It is changing.
But so I'm suddenly aware that, yeah, all of my influences when I was growing up, they all tended to be men, and that's the way it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they are out there.
Those are the ones that stuck with us, though, you know. But yeah, loads out there, and we could do a separate one, be more specific. We could do bad theme songs, but I think we should do one about TV shows because there's
TV
some.
Shows,
I mean, no, we're talking about the TV show intro.
I think we should have a TV show challenge.
Oh, go on then. Oh, you mean like guess the song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Iona could do. Iona likes TV shows.
Well, that's it. Have you got a nice dress you could put on and stuff? Because you'll need to be glamorous. And oh, digging myself into this big hole of how terrible.
Yeah.
How
we can
terrible.
Do.
Well, you know, if it was a bloke, say you got, you know, Aaron.
Right.
Yeah, you'd want him to wear a sparkly jacket.
Absolutely. Or a dress.
Yeah, whatever. So anything sparkly, it has to be. Yeah. And, you know, and big white teeth.
Right.
That's what you do, isn't it? The game show host,
the bow tie.
Yeah. Basically, could you look like Bob Monkhouse, do you think?
I don't know who that is.
Really?
Yes. Really. I'm just doing a frantic Google right now, and we'll show it on the camera. But yeah, no, thank you, Ian, for inviting us back in and having a lovely, passionate chat about these theme songs.
Yes, and I've just lost you a lot of listeners.
Sorry, we're at the end anyway.
Yeah.
Worried about the ratings.
Well, that's be cancelled.
That's the first one that came up.
This is what we're going for, everybody.
That's the first one that came up.
There you go. There's the Bob House, I know. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
There we go. We're going to go for that look next time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to focus?
I'll cut my hair.
I don't know. And get some tan. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. Take care of yourselves, and we'll catch you all down the road.